Play 3-6.
A winter weather advisory continues until 7 p.m. this evening. Cloudy skies today with snow likely. Highs level off around 35. West winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Chance for snow again tonight. Lows dip down to about 32. Overcast. Chance for snow tomorrow. High of 38. About an inch of snow today. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on KOKK. Currently, it's 33.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. High school football last night, not everybody got to play due to the weather conditions, but the Huron Tigers did. Huron Tigers had the road trip down south as they traveled to Yankton last night. Huron overcame some first half turnovers to control the ball in the second half and pick up a 15-12 win over Yankton. After going 25 years without a win against the Bucks, Huron has now won two games in a row, and both those wins have came at Yankton. Huron scored first on their opening possession. It was a 54-yard touchdown pass from Cade McNeil to Kobe Bush. And then Huron was driving in again later in the first quarter, only to fumble the ball away, and that kind of turned the tide for the first half. Yankton scored off the fumble. Yankton again scored again on a short field later after a Huron interception to lead 12-8 going into halftime. But Huron took the opening kickoff in the third quarter and drove down the field into the wind, nearly 7.5 minutes on the time of possession. They end up scoring on a 3-yard touchdown pass, Cade McNeil to Kobe Bush. That was a fourth down play as well. That made the score 15-12, and it stood up for the rest of the game as Huron picks up their fourth win of the season. McNeil's threw the two touchdown passes and had 226 yards passing the ball through the air. Huron again struggled some running the ball, but did run it enough in the second half to keep Yankton honest. Huron now 4-3. They will host Tri-Valley on Friday. Other scores from 11AA, Belfouche rolled over Spearfish 48-7. The battle of unbeatens was not much of a battle. Pierre continues to be the class of the field as they thumped Brookings 54-6. St. Thomas More rolled with a 42-6 win over Douglas. In AAA, Lincoln defeated Harrisburg 18-15. O'Gorman in the snow up in Watertown wins 39-13. Brandon Valley defeated Sioux Falls Washington 28-7. In area scores, we had postponements around here. Mount Vernon Plankinton shut out Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central 38-0. A few other scores of note. Tri-Valley comes to Huron next week. Canton took care of Tri-Valley last night with a 49-0 shutout win. Tri-Valley at Huron next Friday night at Tiger Stadium. A battle of number 1 against number 2 in Class 9B. Coleman Egan rolled to a 44-26 win over Del Rapids St. Mary. Those are the scores we had from last night in high school football. As I said, there were a number of postponements, including some games in our area. Game that we had planned to have on the air last night on KOKK, winner at Miller Highmore Herald, was pushed back to this coming Monday at 3 o'clock. We'll still have the game on the air Monday afternoon. Hitchcock Tuller at Sunshine Bible was postponed to a Monday at 2 o'clock. Woolsey Wessington at Cologne was postponed to 3:30 today. There were a few other postponements as well, including Douglas at Mitchell. They'll be playing at 6 o'clock tonight in Mitchell instead of last night as originally scheduled. Rapid City Stevens is at Aberdeen tonight, and on Monday, Sioux Falls Roosevelt is at Rapid City Central. Also, Clark Willow Lake had postponed their game, and they'll be playing Monday against Dakota Hills, and there's a number of games. I'd say maybe a third of the schedule, and just about anything that was scheduled to be played north of Highway 14 saw postponements here for last night. Girls State AA tennis wrapped up yesterday. The final team standing saw Sioux Falls Lincoln win yet another state title with 505 points, well ahead of runner-up St. Thomas Moore. Moore, who petitioned up from Class A, was second at 354, O'Gorman third, 331, Brandon Valley fourth at 315, Watertown fifth at 303. That girls' state, that AA state tennis tournament was moved completely indoors for its two-day run. A look at the schedule for today. Well, there's only one item that I know of that's still on the schedule. That's cheer and dance here on Tigers. Wolsey Wessington, a few other area schools will be at the Mitchell Invitational today. ESD Cross Country Meet in Aberdeen, that has been postponed and moved. It'll now be held Monday. And instead of Aberdeen, it will be in Brookings on Monday. And the state soccer quarterfinals for AA, semifinals for Class A, they've all been postponed for today. They'll instead be played on Monday. State finals are set for a week from today. The AA semifinals have been moved from Tuesday to a Thursday. So a lot of reaction to weather-related announcements. Speaking of announcements, I have a few to pass along here. Tiger Roar Booster Club has set up some postseason potlucks for various teams. The first one coming up this Tuesday, that's October 15th in the High School Commons. Gets underway at 6 o'clock. That's for boys golf and girls tennis. Next one will be a week from Monday, October 21st, for boys and girls cross country at the High School Commons, beginning at 6 o'clock. And then on Tuesday, that'll be October 22nd, will be the postseason potluck for boys and girls soccer. And that will start at 6:30 due to parent-teacher conferences going on. So 6:30, the soccer potluck, again at the High School Commons. So that's the rundown of various announcements from Tiger Roar Booster Club. Here's another note from the state of South Dakota. Electronic tickets are now available for finals events this year. That starts with the state soccer finals next week. State competitive cheer and dance and state cross country, which are coming up in 2 weeks. That saves fans time at the gate and makes the admission process move along more quickly for the local site hosts. The link is gofan.co/app/school/SDHSAA. I think better just to go to the South Dakota High School Activities Association and look at their website to find that link. That's pretty hard to remember. Electronic tickets are not required for admission, but it is an option that will hopefully help things move along quicker as people look to enter those state events here coming up in the next 2 weeks and really down the road here for the school year. Coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday starts at about 8:15 this morning. We'll talk cross country with Huron Tiger head coach Julie King, volleyball with head coach Shelley Budenhagen, and we'll review last night's football game with head coach Scott Spanton. Dakota Sports Saturday gets underway at about 8:15 this morning here on KOKK. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
Good morning, back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, talking cross country here on Tiger coach Angie Thomas. Tigers were scheduled to go to Aberdeen today for the ESD Conference cross-country meet, but that has been pushed back to Monday, starting at 1 o'clock due to the prevailing weather. Huron's had a young team this year, and Angie, I guess first thoughts on that. It is a young team, and just been kind of waiting it out now, waiting for some kids to develop.
Yeah, I sure have. You know, these kids have been working so hard, though, and this year I'm mixing it up a little bit, and I am not filling varsity teams. I'm letting these younger kids run at their level because they're having so much success there, and I think that's really important for them to continue having that success for as long as they can.
You know, and you mentioned the one varsity runner you do have is for the boys with real Will Radke, and it sounded to me, I remember talking to you earlier in the season, he kind of made it a point that he told you, yes, I am going to run varsity.
He did. I gave him the option. I said, you know, you are only a sophomore, and with the way he's been running this year, he would have been top five, if not winning some of these JV races that we've had throughout the season, and nope, he said, I want to run varsity. He has some goals in mind where he wants to be come state time, and he felt, and I agree with him, that he needs to be running varsity if he wants to meet those goals that he has for himself. So, yeah, Will Radke will be our lone varsity runner.
But you will be taking a pretty big contingent of kids to Aberdeen, and basically what you're looking at is the JV and the middle school races. And as you said, just let those kids have some success. You will have a lot of kids running there.
Yeah, I will. At the JV level, I still can't fill a team, I guess, but I don't have at least five runners in each. But the JV boys, having Cheech Harmon, who is my number one JV runner right now, he's placed in the top 10 every meet that he's run in at the JV level. Angel Olivo Porqueo is right behind him. He's a freshman as well. And then Gonzalo Quispe, Laura, is a sophomore, and he's been running well this year as well. And we had a late joiner, I guess you would say, to the program, Wasso. And I think with some time, he'll come around too, but I'm going to keep all of them at the JV level, and I'm hoping to get some medals from those boys.
And then you go down to middle school level there too. I know you've had TJ Lean, I believe it is. He's had a lot of success. I've seen some firsts and seconds there.
Yeah, TJ, he's just a workhorse, and he'll do whatever Coach King and I tell him to do. And he's not afraid to hurt. And that's something that you got to be willing to do when you run cross country. You've got to get out of your comfort zone and run. And TJ Lean, he's the kid that will do it. So yeah, I'm really looking for him to have a great race. Will Knipling is another one that's been placing for us at the middle school level. He's been running really well this year. And Cameron Cutshaw is another one who he's been just out of the medals, but you know, he gets better every race as well.
And look at the girls' side here, Angie. Again, no varsity runners, but you will have a number of JV and middle school runners. And again, they're just looking to have some success.
Yeah, on the JV side, Brooklyn Botel is a junior, but this is her first year she's ever been in cross country, and she's medaled at every JV meet that she has run in. So I'm definitely keeping her there because she's enjoying the successes that she's been having. And she's right behind Tori Buffington, who's my number one runner right now. And Tori's only a freshman. So she definitely deserves to be running at the JV level. And she deserves to enjoy the successes that are coming along with that. And then on the middle school side, I have Tatum Peterson, who she'll be moving up and running for me at state as well. But she's an eighth grader, and I put her down running at her age level, and she's medaling top five each meet that she's been running in. So, you know, these kids need to have these successes, and I truly believe that keeping them there is not going to hurt them in the long run. And then another girl that's really come on strong this year is Hannah Schoenfelder. She's a seventh grader. and she's been getting her first medals of her cross-country career. So I'm just really excited for these girls, and I'm hoping that they have success at their level. And Josie Bleeger, she's a sixth-grade girl that we have out. Her dad is our volunteer coach, Kent Bleeger, and she's a workhorse, too, and she'll just do whatever we tell her to do. So, you know, I'm hoping these kids have some success and, you know, get some medals, bring home some hardware for us.
And overall, that's a young core that you would like to build, because, face it, that has been the biggest issue, I guess, is retention as these kids get older.
Yeah, it is. It's always a struggle to keep these kids out, and cross country is tough, and we don't necessarily have that fan base that comes along and cheers them on. But I will say that we have a strong set of parents that are with this group, and it's just great to see the parents out there running with them, and they're positive, and I think that's the great, I mean, that's what helps these kids want to stay out, is when they have the parent support behind them and they're having the success that they're having. I mean, hopefully that's what will keep these kids out.
Talk about ESD as you go up to Aberdeen, and I guess you don't have a lot of comparison, because the Aberdeen meet in the regular season was canceled due to all the rain we had back in September. Well, here we are in October with the same kind of issue going on, and I guess there's a little more to running cross country this year than years past, just because, as we've already talked about, there's a varsity run, there's a JV run, there's a middle school run. By the time those last runs go, those courses are probably not getting in the best of shape. I know you mentioned the conditions for Brookings there the couple weeks ago.
Yeah, when we ran at Brookings, they ran the middle school race first. So by the time the varsity ran, there was some pretty mucky places that those kids were running through. But definitely something that we need to, you know, work on, and we need to expect, I guess, when we go to these meets, that they're not ideal conditions. The great thing about ESD, our varsity runners run first, so Will won't have any excuses for running through, you know, a few inches of mud, but, well, maybe there'll still be some mud sloshy stuff out there, but, between that and, I don't know, the middle schoolers, that's what's going to be tough. I think they're going to have a tough course to run on by the time they run.
But, you know, that's the thing when it comes to cross country. The difference between cross country and distance running in track in the spring is the conditions aren't just perfect. You know, you got hills, you got bumps on the courses, and obviously weather can affect the condition of the course as well, as we saw when we hosted the Huron Invite, the Clyde Cotton, last month. They had to change the course just because of all the water.
Yeah, and that's a struggle for the kids too, but again, you know, it's the same for everybody. You know, it's not like one group gets a nice course and the other doesn't. So I think that's the other good thing about cross country. It's who is mentally strong just as well as physically strong, because, you know, if you start the day with, oh, the course is crappy, my time is going to be so bad, you know what, your time is going to be bad. But if you start the day and say, you know what, it's the same for everybody, I'm strong, I can run this is nothing, you know, I'm just going to have to work a little bit harder. I mean, those are the mentalities that you need when you're running cross country, just to believe in yourself and just get out there and work hard and not be afraid to hurt a little bit.
And finally, before we let you go here again, talk with Angie Thomas, cross country coach for Huron. Huron will host the annual Roger Lecter next Thursday as well, just kind of a tune-up for AA schools since don't have regions here. And I imagine that'll attract a little of attention from our fellow AA schools, at least in the ESD, because we are hosting state cross country, a chance to run the course ahead of time.
Yeah, we usually have a better turnout for the Roger Lecker meet when we host state, and especially this year since our course is different than years past. I think teams are going to want to run on our course, and also the JV and varsity races will be 5K for that. So that's a good, last minute race for some of those kids from other towns that they haven't quite qualified. You know, they're not one of those top seven runners for their team, but they can at least still go run a JV race, and it's 5K, and then the coaches can compare their time. So it's a really nice meet to have a week before the state meet.
Angie Thomas, head coach here on Tiger Cross Country. Again, EST Cross Country scheduled for today has been pushed back to Monday due to the weather and course conditions. They'll start at 1 o'clock Monday afternoon up in Aberdeen. More coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. Talk with Shelly Mudnagan, head coach of the Huron Tiger volleyball team. Huron played just once this past week for said win over Pierre on a Tuesday. When the new rankings came out this week, they were up to a number three after the big week a week ago when they knocked off both Aberdeen and Sioux Falls, Washington. And Shelly came into that Pierre match, and I don't think anybody was overlooking anybody, but we just weren't real sharp right at the beginning, and Pierre took advantage.
Yeah, you know, I think Pierre came at us with some high sets and just some big-time power at the net, and our blocking wasn't quite ready to go, and defensively we had to make an adjustment, but I thought we looked a little slow-footed, a little heavy in our feet, waiting for things to happen instead of reacting and going after it, and Pierre took advantage of that. I think we did have a 14-11 lead, and it felt like, okay, here we go, we're working the cobwebs out, and but then Pierre called the timeout, and we just had one mistake after another. It was a lot of unforced errors, and that can come from a couple things, maybe being unfocused a little bit, but also just being in a whole different, I guess, scenario than we've been used to. We're used to not being rated, fighting and kicking and scratching and clawing to prove that we're okay, that we're a pretty good volleyball team, but then now actually arriving at the top of our mountain and going, okay, now what? And so we're having to deal with some emotional maturity there, and how do you play when you've got a target on your back? Because quite frankly, I think every team we play from here on out, they're going to bring their best matches. They're going to bring their best efforts. And so we have to be able to not only match their effort, but then go above and beyond what we're used to doing. So there's a lot of learning going on, and I thought Pierre played a great match. I take nothing away from them, but we thought, after that first set, we absolutely knew we could play a lot better, and we had to tighten and squeak some things together, and when I say tighten and squeak, we had to get our block going a little bit better, we had to get our back row adjusted a couple times, and I thought we made some good plays and some good things were happening. So, you know, sometimes good teams have to win ugly, and I thought we did that, and that's good too.
And really, just a few tweaks here and there, and I felt halfway through the second set on, that's when we kind of started to see the Tiger team we'd come accustomed to, and at the end, there we were again with like five girls between 6 and 12 kills as that ball continues to get spread around.
Yeah, you know, in that first set, we were struggling passing as well, and Pierre came and did some things at their serving game that we weren't quite expecting, and our passing was off. And so then we can't get in our offense, and when we're not in system, we're not as good as we can be. And, you know, I think Tevin missed in a couple sets, which does make a big difference. And so, you know, once we settled down and we started moving and passing a little bit better, things did get rocking and rolling. And then you could see that we were getting some good swings. Pierre made some incredible defensive plays. yet they were still out of system, so they were having to send us free balls or easy balls. And so here we come again. We load up, and the faster we went, the tougher time Pier had. And so, I think our offense paid off there and got us back in rhythm with our passing. So, it just started to happen. And when we are in system, and Tenley's making some better choices now, she's reading the block across the net and going to places where we have one-on-one, or sometimes we didn't have any block going up. So, it was good. Again, it all starts with that passing in the back row and those hitters having the confidence to call certain plays and go fast.
Now we're in the midst of a week off, and kind of talked to you Tuesday night. You didn't think it was a bad thing. Not that we're banged up or injured, but everybody's a little achy. You know, it's a long season. You're a little over halfway through, and a little rest probably does everybody some good.
Well, jumper's knee really starts to come in, and then for as many bodies as we have hit in the floor, there are certain injuries and the body starts wearing down, and I think Libby twisted her ankle a little bit at the last 2 points of that match. We get that. But yeah, Emily's been dealing with the back, so this week comes at a great time for us to heal up a little bit and take care of some business that we want to get better at.
As we look ahead, Breast Cancer Awareness Night on Tuesdays, we host Harrisburg. We'll get to that shortly, but first off, talk about Harrisburg. They had a 5-set win over us about a month ago at their place, and really almost, as you look back now, that match almost is like a springboard, because it seems like we've played a lot better since then.
Well, that match, we circled that date since the last ball dropped. We knew we could be playing better that day, and it just didn't pan out for us. We just could not get things rolling, and they took advantage of it. At the time, they were 1-3, I think, and they were kind of struggling. And we've been their springboard. They played a lot better since that match as well. And so we kind of have a bad taste in our mouth from that match, and we want to do things a lot better. And I think a lot of it was just little tiny things of focus, and we panicked. We don't want to panic anymore. We just want to keep focusing one point at a time, and we learned a lot from that match. So, yeah, if we can't get fired up for that match, there's something wrong with this, something wrong with us. We just got to be able to compete as hard as we can, and I think the kids want to redo, and we're going to get it.
And as I mentioned, Breast Cancer Awareness Night. Let's get into some details here as we wrap things up. Again, talking with Shelley Budnagin, head volleyball coach for the Huron Tigers. Big event every year for the team. There'll be a lot of people there. Yeah, start with the Rose Ceremony, then, of course, some good volleyball as well. Prior to that, girls are out in the community securing donations, that sort of thing. And because I really don't know where to start, you have T-shirts for sale. New this year is that silent auction. And right now, that silent auction sounds like it's really starting to come together.
It really is. It's brand new, a new factor. We weren't quite sure if we were going to sell T-shirts, but the kids really wanted to. And we've heard some things in the community that they like those T-shirts every year, and it does show support, and the funds all stay locally. The Rose Ceremony begins at 6:40, so those of the fans that come, at 6:55, or if you can get there earlier and see this Rose Ceremony, it is touching, because we're honoring survivors or families of people that have lost it or people that are currently fighting the battle, so that's a very touching thing, and we have about 22 roses we're ready to give out. To honor people. And then we have got the silent auction, and HRMC comes and decorates the arena. We've got some informational facts. And then the silent auction, we want to again thank all the businesses that have donated. It means a lot. I think it says a lot about Huron that whenever there is something that really, really matters, this community comes together. And, fighting this disease really matters. And it's paving the way for future young women and for those families. And so, it's just a great celebration and bringing the community together. We also usually try to see if we can break our attendance record on this night, and sort of need about 1,100, 1,200 people packed in that arena, and if we could get that, that would be tremendous. But also, you're going to see some great volleyball. Harrisburg's a very good volleyball team. We're a very good volleyball team, and two teams that really know how to compete. So it's going to probably be cold on Tuesday, so come on into the arena. It's nice and warm. And you're going to be able to see two good teams playing, battling, I guess, and then just celebrating those women and families.
And just to wrap it up, if anybody would like to donate to the silent auction or get a hold of one of the T-shirts, either way, just contact anybody associated with Huron Tiger Volleyball.
Absolutely. Any one of the players, any one of those parents, And then, of course, at the Norby Center, I'm always there if you want to drop something off or just give me a call. We can certainly get you pointed in the right direction. But, again, thank you to the community of Huron for supporting this event year after year. It's been a great success.
Shelley Budenhagen, head coach of the Huron Tiger volleyball team, off for the weekend. They'll be back on the court. And also that special night, Breast Cancer Awareness Night, coming up Tuesday night at the Huron Arena. More coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Good morning. We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we'll wrap it up talking here on Tiger football with head coach Scott Spann. The Tigers, hard to believe, but well, maybe we should believe, but after going 25 years without a win over Yankton, we've won two in a row last year and this year, both in Yankton. And coach, I know just talking to you before we started here, it wasn't always pretty, but boys, especially defensively, made plays when needed.
Right. I was happy for the kids. Again, anytime you get a win, it's a good thing. So proud of them, how they responded, especially late. You know, it was good to kind of get in one of those ball games where it comes down to the end and see how we react. And I thought overall defensively, in that situation, we made enough plays to get the job done, so I was proud of them for that. And then, like I said, you know, we're never going to turn our cheek to a win. It was a big game for us moving forward, so especially after last week, having to rebound again off of the Pier game and see how they reacted mentally, and I thought we did a pretty good job of that during the week, but then also last night with the elements and everything else, you know, the mental toughness side of it and just focusing in, I thought we did a pretty good job to finish it out.
And there's so many things to throw into that. We had the win to open the game, had a nice long pass for a touchdown to kind of establish it. And then our third possession, we get down to the 10 and fumble it. And I thought that kind of changed the complexion for the rest of the half. The second quarter, we looked a little stagnant, and that's when Yankton was able to take the lead.
Yes, we spoke about it during the, you know, pregame about how important it is, especially for us offensively. It's no secret. When we get off to good starts, you know, we usually have pretty good, you know, a pretty good game offensively. But the big thing was when it's that cold out, that ball gets a little slicker, a little harder to control. And, of course, you know, we're not making excuses because both sides had to do the same thing. But, you know, it hurt us a few times, whether it be catching the ball or holding on to it. I thought on the flip side of that, though, defensively, we did a good job of stripping the ball and creating some turnovers. But, it was one of those deals where we didn't cash in on some of those opportunities, shot herself in the foot a little bit, so that came back to haunt us a little bit and probably make it closer in the end than what we wanted it to be, but we just missed some opportunities there that we should have capitalized on.
You know, that second quarter was just really, you know, we just didn't look like the same team as the first, third, and fourth. I think Cade McNeil, quarterback, started 6 of 9, but then mostly in the second quarter, he had a streak of 1 of 10, and I think the one completion went for 1 yard, but then second half, he was efficient again with that passing game.
Right, and, you know, it's one of those deals where I don't think you can necessarily blame, because we weren't throwing the ball vertically too much into the wind. It was more getting the ball out of his hands quick and whatnot, and just, you know, it might have been a step off here or there, but, you know, a little bit of it's the mechanics part with his feet. But for the most part, you're right. You know, we just didn't execute at times. You know, we got off to a decent start, and then you kind of got stagnant there and got behind the sticks again, which doesn't help us when we do that. So you're right. You know, consistency-wise, as far as execution, we've got to do a much better job these last few games for us to, again, you know, move forward and improve on where we're at offensively. So we still have a lot of work ahead of us this week getting ready for Tri-Valley.
And really, for me, the swing for us came in that opening possession of the second half after we got the second half kickoff, after the coach who says he never defers, deferred after winning the toss to open the game. We go into the wind, hold the ball 7.5 minutes, score, and then so they have the win but only have it for 4.5 minutes. That just put us then where it just felt like they were chasing us the rest of the game.
Right, and that's something, again, that we – hopefully we can do more of, because we like to get the situation where, if we can control the ball, control the sticks, control the time on the clock, so to speak, to an extent, we feel that bodes well for us, because then our defense isn't on the field 85 or 90% of the time. And, of course, a lot of our kids go both ways. But it's one of those deals where, like you said, we shorten the third quarter. And then as they had the wind to their back, you give them only 4 minutes in which to take advantage of that. So I thought that was key. Again, like you mentioned, about keeping control of the ball and keeping it out of their hands on the offensive side of the ball.
And, defensively, just had, I thought Walker Schultz and Tyson Lean had great games at those linebacker positions. In fact, Tyson was our first National Bank player of the game. You mentioned we were able to go in and strip the ball. The first and third fumble, one in the first half, one in the second half by Yankton, they were clean strips by Tyson. He didn't recover it, but he popped the ball out.
Right, and, we work on that in practice, and so he does a nice job coming up and punching it out or raking it out, and those were big. Those turnovers were big in our, in our success overall, giving us short fields or getting us possession back when they might have had a little bit of momentum. Those are momentum switchers, and so it was a big play, both of them. But yes, you're right, both linebackers in that scenario, Walker played well. Tyson, again, he's always going to give you great effort. But again, those were key in our success as far as being able to get the ball back and get it back in our possession, and then again, chew up some more clock. We're always trying to score, but again, if we can kind of methodically move it down the field, then that's again to our advantage.
And while we have really struggled to run the ball all year, that's no secret. We did at Walker Schultz had a couple of nice runs on that second half touchdown drive, and while you still didn't get it to where you want it to be on the run game, at least that kept Yankton a little more honest.
Right, we can't, if we have to throw the ball, we will. But obviously you like to be a little bit more diverse and not get so one-sided, especially when you have situations where we had a couple times where we went three times, we threw the ball in a row and three incompletions, then basically you're running a minute and a half to 2 minutes off the clock, if that, and then you're turning right around and going back to defense. So, yes, we got to do a much better job sometimes of mixing it up, but I think one of the biggest things as far as the disappointment was when we got down there to the one, going against the wind, and we didn't capitalize on that better than what we did.
Well, we did get it in the end zone, but you had a loss, a penalty, a scramble, and then, from where we looked, it looked like, with Cade running around back there on that fourth down play, it looked to me like, I couldn't see it very well because the window was blocked, but it looked to me like Kobe was in the back of the end zone. He came back towards Cade as he was rolling to that sideline, made the adjustment because he saw what his quarterback was doing.
Right. We do some, we haven't done it a lot. We've touched on it at times and probably need to do it more, but we have scramble rules, and they did a good job of communicating that where Kobe came back and helped him out. He made a good throw, and like I said, that was something that was totally off of improv, but we do work on that somewhat. And so he made a good adjustment, a good throw, and got us the points that we needed, which was very crucial at that time of the game for us.
Weather like that, the kicking game can always be iffy, and give Kobe a solid effort there, too. He was pressed into punting duties with Derek Simmons' injury, and I guess he kicked much better during the game than he did in warm-ups.
Right, and one of the things is, the big thing, I think, is just he gets the ball off fairly quickly. It may not be pretty all the times, but again, he gets the ball off pretty quick, and he's a big target back there on the snaps and good hands to handle
and
the snaps.
Give Hardeman credit. Those snaps were right on target.
Exactly. So, I thought that was good, especially with the conditions and punting against the wind. He did a real nice job. And then with the wind, we did a pretty good job of covering. We gave up a couple where I thought we could have downed him and pinned him inside their own 10. But for the most part, you're right. He did a good job stepping up and filling into that position. And that helped sometimes as far as, again, putting them in a situation where they had to take the ball the length of the field.
And we did have two key injuries last night as Derek Simmonsma in A2 sat out due to injuries. It was good to get Sebastian Cardona back. He had missed about a month with an ankle, and then Jaden Beck got pressed into defensive duties there. And those kids, it was obviously big moments, especially for Jaden. Those kids responded.
Right. You know, one of those deals where, again, you know, somebody goes down and creates an opportunity for somebody else. And, you know, Jaden, again, he's another player that plays 100 miles an hour. Sometimes he's got to control that a little bit better, but for the most part, he's going to give you the effort. So he did a good job stepping up in that opportunity that he had. You know, it was good to get Cardona back as far as solidifying some things up front on the offensive line, especially with our situation with, you know, Esser being out of commission. And yeah, that was definitely a good thing to have him back and, again, bring some experience back to that front line. And so, you know, we're pretty good, you know, in our situation as far as our health. But at this point in time of the season, everybody's banged up, and you're going to have to sometimes step up and play with some bumps and bruises. And, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job of that.
Now, we're holding the number three seed at this point, and obviously another win would help solidify that. I don't know if we got a chance to catch Brookings unless they lose a couple more, but bottom line is it'd be nice to have a home game in the first round, and we control that now.
Right, and, you know, that's why last night was such a big game for us, not only because of, you know, our result of the peer game, but coming back into it, you know, our mental state, you know, how well would we respond, and then you throw in the elements. So, again, the mental toughness side of it going into it was big for us to see how we reacted and came out. And I thought overall, you know, we did a pretty good job of, you know, doing that. And like I said, it may have been a little bit closer than what we wanted, but the bottom line is we got the job done in the end. It sets us up well going into Tri-Valley because, again, we are in control of our own destiny. You know, these last two games, if we can do what we need to do, both of them are at home. And if we do what we need to do and should do and take care of our business, then, like you said, we should be hosting a first-round game.
Now, you mentioned Tri-Valley be the first meeting. It'll be our third crossover game here in this new type schedule. And you're going to have to watch a lot of film because what Tri-Valley team are they? Because they knocked off Sioux Falls Christian at Sioux Falls Christian a couple weeks ago. Then at home, Canton, who we saw about a month ago, and we know they're a good team, but Canton rolled them 49-0 last night.
Yes, sir. I mean, I haven't watched a whole lot of video on them. I watched a little bit of San Antonio, or not San Antonio.
You're not in San Antonio anymore.
The Sioux Falls Christian game, and again, they had some elements to deal with there, but it's one of those deals where once we break down the video from that game and then obviously last night's game, but you know, you gotta hand it to Canton too. They're a pretty good football team. So, you know, one of the deals is they're coming off a big, you know, upsetting loss for them, I'm sure. So they're going to be, obviously eager to turn that around and have an opportunity to, you know, beat us at our own home stadium. So, you know, we can't underestimate anybody no matter what classification they are. We found out, you know, that earlier against Canton where we didn't show up to play like we were capable of. So, again, we've got to have a good week preparation going into this because, again, it is crucial for us. Every game for us is crucial right now down the home stretch. And, like I said, controlling our own fate, so to speak, as far as who we match up against in the first round. So, you know, that's the way we got to approach it. Basically, these last, you know, two games leading into the playoffs for us really are playoff games.
And finally, and I guess if you already knew the answer to this, we wouldn't be talking about it anymore, but our boys have been pretty notorious. Good week, bad week, good week, bad week. Can they carry over momentum from last night? Can we get that back to Tiger Stadium next Friday?
Yes, sir. That's been our MO all season long. We I guess for whatever reason, we like to enjoy the roller coaster ride rather than just being a flat line. So that's, again, like you mentioned, that's going to be a big component for us is, typically, when we have a poor outing, we come back and play pretty well. Now we've got to string two of those back-to-back and then move forward from there. But it's like I said, it's a big game for us. You know, we've got to, again, obviously improve on what we did the other night. Hopefully the elements won't be quite the same. But regardless, we still got to show up and put 48 minutes of football together. And that's what we mentioned again during the pregame. We have yet to play 48 minutes of total, you know, football like we'd like to play. We put two quarters together, maybe two and a half, but we're still at that stage where getting down towards the end of the season, we got to be able to play 48 minutes of quality football to have a chance to be successful.
Scott Spatton, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers, a 15-12 win over Yankton last night. As I said earlier, after going 25 years without a win over Yankton in high school football, that makes two wins in a row for the Huron Tigers, both in Yankton, going back to last year's state semifinal. That'll wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday. We have the weekend off from local sports. Mike Hendrickson and the Sports Max is coming up shortly. Up next is Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Monty James for the Old School Territorial Rodeo Update. While the smoke is cleared and we have the unofficial 2019 NFR roster in our possession, we'll take a look at territorial contestants making their way to Vegas for 10 days of mayhem, December 5th through the 14th. It's a national finals rodeo, baby. We'll be back after this word from our friends at PremierEQSD.com.
Prince Gothiel Ranch presents thousands of Charley Cross and Angus feeders and replacement heifers that begin selling in October. From the heart of cow country, they're vaccinated, produced by stockmen with a program, and represent four decades of genetic selection, disposition, performance, and carcass traits. Weights range from the upper fours to over 700 pounds. For Linsco Thiel's fall feeder calf listing, call Brent at 605-848-1840 or go to ltranch.com.
Now then, y'all, from PRCA World Headquarters, Colorado Springs, CO, here's who's in the knife fight for gold buckles from our original nine-state coverage area. Reza, lock this bad boy down, and let's get it on. Montana leads the charge with six hands bound for Vegas. South Dakota, 3. Kansas, 3. Minnesota, Wyoming, Colorado, and Nebraska, all with 2. Iowa down to 1 with world champ bronc rider Wade Sindel busted up with a lacerated liver. In the Bears, Iowa's 3-time world champ Tim O'Connell will go number 6. Nebraska's NFR average champ Stephen Dent, number 10. Mandan, North Dakota hand, Ty Brewer, 12. Minnesota lad Tanner Ross pulls the lucky 13 card. Do it.
You can do it!
Boomer Dogan. Montana slamma Ty Erickson, top dog. Minnesota's J.D. Struxness rolls 10th. Richard Chambers of Montana, 13th. Cam Mormon of North Dakota, 14th. And Tanner Bruner of Kansas, number 15 in the quest for NFR immortality. Sorry. Team Ropin' Headers, Montana World Champ Clay Tryon, number 4. Master Blasted Ty Blazin Game of Wyoming, lurking 5th. Colorado's Tate Kirkenschlager, yeah, that's German, rolls to Vegas, 12th. Healers, Jake Long of Kansas, number 4 on the list. Montana's Chase Tryon back at number 11. Saddle Bronc Riding, down year for the territory. We've seen South Dakota send 7 to the NFR, this year 1, barely. Montana's Chase Brooks, number 6. Barody Cress of Wyoming, hold up 9th. J.J. Elsher squeaks in 15th. Watched him break his ankle at the Corn Palace. He's a tough rancher, and he will be in Vegas in 8 weeks, guaranteed. Ow! Tie down roping, best year ever for our boys. Haven Megan of Montana, legit shot at gold, going number 2. NFR average champ, Riley Pruitt of Gearing, Nebraska, chilling 8th. Cooper Barton of Alma, Kansas, squeaks in on the bubble at number 15. Barrel racing, Lisa Lockhart of South Dakota, only 8K out of number 1 in the horse race. Colorado Shaylee Lord, 4 spot. Jessica Rotier of Buffalo, South Dakota, another trip to Vegas in the 4 hole. Bull riding, big old fat goose egg for the territory. Reza, what you thinking?
Cowboy up.
Big thanks to our sponsors at Sioux Steel Company and Premier Equipment. Props to producer Mitchell G and the Air Force at this great American radio station. Monty James on the rodeo trail for the old school TRU. In these times, every dollar counts. Squeeze the most out of your sunflower harvest with the Nardi Sunstorm Panheader from your local Premier Equipment location. You'll notice a difference in performance and speed. This system will guarantee minimal loss and can harvest your field at any angle. If you are after extreme precision, take a gander at the Nardi Sunstorm row system that allows for accurate harvesting and maximum productivity. See both at your local Premier Equipment dealer, Isabel Mobridge in Battle, South Dakota. PremierEQSD.com.
So let's talk a little bit about real estate. We sit down once a week and we talk a little bit about properties that are for sale. We talk a little bit about a couple of things that the Real Estate Connection will do, because on this day we welcome in somebody from the Real Estate Connection and we talk about real estate and issues dealing with real estate. Now, some of these issues may be the multiple list service that says if there's a for sale sign in the front yard and you want to deal with Reg down at the Real Estate Connection, you just give them a call. They can sell other realtors listings, other realtors can sell theirs. It's the multiple list service. Everybody's a part of that. There are a few things they call exclusive listings. There's a few here and there, but you just ask Reg. He'll give you the details on that. They'll also do the competitive market analysis where they come out to your home. They take a look at comparable homes, what they've sold for, and they give you kind of a starting price, if you will. This is where we would start if you would like to sell your home. You're not obligated to do it at that point. If you're looking to upgrade, downsize, move to the country, you want to try your hand at farming, you buy a farm, you buy a business, hunting ground, farm ground, it's all for sale, or you could sell yours with the Real Estate Connection. They're on Dakota Avenue South. You can call them at 352-1300. You can call Reg directly, 350-2223. Now, Reg, you announced that there's a possibility, or not a possibility, but there would be a location at some point. And now I understand that the ball is rolling on this somewhat secret situation. Worst kept secret in the world, by the way.
yeah, there's some progress going on. We're going to be moving sometime in the near future, and we'll have more to come on that. But it's out there.
And you'll hear about it right here on this show. This is where you will get the exclusive Real Estate Connection information.
Absolutely right.
So again, we get together once a week. We talk about issues dealing with real estate. Oh, I see you got some big properties there today, huh?
Well, we've got a nice lineup. We got some new things to talk about today. Lots of activity going on, even though it's fall and people kind of feel like maybe this is a time when things really slow down. Things do get a little bit slower in the fall, but boy, we've got a couple of nice new listings to talk about today. I've got a new listing in Woonsocket. This is 204 East 9th Street. What a nice property. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath home. It's got a full bath, one full bath with a tub and shower. It's also got a almost full bath, beautiful master bathroom with tiled floors, a huge whirlpool tub, also has a walk-in closet in this master bedroom. Many updates to this home. Many updates. Tiled floors, new kitchen, newer appliances, some new carpet. It's got a double attached garage, so that's very, very nice. In 2003, there was a really nice addition put on, which now houses the master bedroom, master bathroom, walk-in closet. It has a beautiful fenced-in backyard, a huge backyard if you've got kids or pets or whatever. Also, really, really nice feature of this home is it has exterior, maintenance-free exterior, but it does not have a basement, so you don't have to worry about the water problems that have been such a major deal this year. This is no basement, and so one level, if you're looking for a one-level home, three bedrooms, two bathrooms, it's 204 East 9th Street in Woonsocket. Drive by and take a look at it. It's priced to sell, priced at $114,900. Like I said, maintenance-free exterior, whirlpool tub, walk-in closets, many updates, beautiful home, everything on one level. Speaking of one level, we also have a brand new listing at 1995 Lampert Drive. This is a custom-built home, 1994. It was custom-built with three bedrooms, two bathrooms. There's almost 1,700 square feet of living space, so a nice, spacious home. Beautiful southeast location. It's close to a lot of things. Close to Lewis Drug, close to Coburn's, close to Burger Plus, close to Walmart even. Check it out. Like I said, it's a custom-built home. It's got a double-attached garage, well-appointed home. It's listed at $185,000, 1995 Lampert Drive, all one level, no basement. Beautiful, beautiful home. Also want to talk this morning about a price reduction. We've had a major price reduction on an apartment complex. This is 255 2nd Street Southwest. It's the Rustic Apartments. This is a beautiful apartment complex. It's been completely redone. It also has an extra lot to go with it, so if a person wanted to build garages, add a duplex, fourplex, whatever you're wanting to do. It has an extra lot right beside it. Goes very well with the apartment complex. But we have a major price reduction. Give us a call. We can tell you a lot more about it. That's the Rustic Apartments at 255 2nd Street Southwest. It's had major renovations, been completely gone through. and a beautiful little apartment complex now. Last thing we want to talk about this morning is we've got some open houses this weekend, and we want to let everybody know on Sunday afternoon we're going to start at 12 o'clock, and we're going to do three open houses, bang, 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 right one right after another. We're going to start at 1714 McIlvain Court, beautiful four-bedroom, two-bath home on a cul-de-sac. If you like a quiet neighborhood with not a lot of traffic, cul-de-sac is nice, very close to the high school, middle school. Great home there at 1714 McIlvain. Then at 115, we're going to move on to 1554 Beach. Beautiful three-bedroom, two-bath home with some incredible updates. Brand new shingles this year, new carpet this year, new whole new bathroom downstairs with a beautiful fiberglass shower. Nice home in a quiet neighborhood. That's 1554 Beach Southeast. And then we'll be concluding our open house Sunday at 2:45 at 1725 Lawn Ridge. That's a three-plus bedroom, three-bath home, main floor laundry, beautiful home, double-attached garage, fresh paint inside and out, new flooring throughout, got a great sprinkler system, and you got your own well, private well at this property as well. So check them out, open house Sunday. From 12 o'clock all the way through 3:45, we're doing three open houses. Check the Thursday paper, newspaper ads, or check our Facebook page. We've got everything out there on the open houses. Busy weekend.
That sounds like it. We're going to keep an eye on that. You can find the home of your dreams, and Reg will help you do it. You give them a call at the Real Estate Connection, 352-1300. Stop down the Real Estate Connection located on Dakota Avenue South. You can call Reg directly, 350-2223. And then I guess we just say, we'll just go with a general blanket, go Twins, until we see how this whole series could get a couple of games in.
Go Twins.
Before we get too excited about it.
Take it to the Yankees.
Yeah, I hope so. All right, well, we'll talk to you next week. Maybe we'll have a full report. Maybe we'll have a sweep by then.
Hey, I'm in.
We'll give it a shot. All right, thanks, Reg. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Matt.
Reg Glatzhouser there from the Real Estate Connection. Stop down and see him. Dakota Avenue South. Call the office, 352-1300. Call Reg directly, 350-2223. Find the home, dreams, a home or business, or hunting ground, farm ground. Find whatever you have in your dreams. Let's try it that way with the Real Estate Connection.
A winter weather advisory continues until 7 p.m. this evening. Cloudy skies today with snow likely. Highs level off around 35. West winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Chance for snow again tonight. Lows sit down to about 32. Overcast. Chance for snow tomorrow. High of 38. About an inch of snow today. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on KOKK. Currently, it's 32.
Always here to inform you, Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron.
It's time for the South Dakota Sports History Show, presented by Sanford Health. Here is your host, longtime South Dakota broadcaster, Mike Henriksen.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Dakota Sports History Show presented by Sanford Health. I'm your host, Mike Henriksen. So great to have you joining us. We've got a great show lined up today with a couple of guests joining us. A reminder that we are on 20 stations statewide, and if you would like to tell the story of your business across the state of South Dakota, we can do it for you at very affordable rates. Go to sportsmaxradio.com. Click on the contact link and get in touch with me. We'd love to talk to you about it, especially for the upcoming year. We'd love to have you be a part of the South Dakota Sports History Show. Great show, as I mentioned today. We will talk some amateur baseball in South Dakota with Herb Sundahl out of Kennebec originally, now residing in Sioux Falls. And then we talk some high school basketball with Ernie Kuiper. Ernie graduated from Mitchell High School in 1998 and has made basketball his life. You'll find out how coming up today on the South Dakota Sports History Show, and we're back after this.
You live in the country, or maybe a small community, or downtown. Wherever you call home, Sanford Health is there. To rewrite healthcare so that it fits you, your family, your needs, and your health. To be alongside you as you overcome obstacles and celebrate joys. Because it's your life, and it's our passion. Health lives here. Sanford Health.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare South Dakota's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the South Dakota High School Activities Association and the South Dakota Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
And welcome back to the South Dakota Sports History Show. I am your host, Mike Henriksen, South Dakota Sports History, presented by Sanford Health. Our guest this week is originally from the Kennebec area and now resides in Sioux Falls. Herb Sundahl joins us. Herb, how are you doing today?
I'm just fine, Mike.
Good. Let's go back to the beginning. Tell me about your family and growing up.
Well, I was an only child. Grew up south of Kennebec on a farm. Married a Presho girl, Deanna, and we had three children, Michelle, Brock, and Tori. They're all grown up now. My baby is 40-something. farm I still have, and we have the pleasure of using it to go pheasant hunting here in a couple weeks, which is always a time for our family to get together.
Yeah, that is one of the great South Dakota traditions, no question about it. So what was it like? What was it, a dirt farm? Did you have animals? What type of farming?
Well, a little bit of everything. I suppose my dad, I think he fashioned himself a little more of a rancher than a farmer.
Right.
Because we always had livestock around and a horse to ride and that sort of thing. So it was a typical farm situation in the late 40s, early 50s.
That was not the easiest time to be a rancher, though, Herb. What was that like?
No, it wasn't, although we didn't know it at the time. We didn't have much. You know, I remember